very pleasant good morning to each one. Your speaker is Robert Swain, the regular preacher for the Rivermont Church of Christ, meeting at 2316 East 100 Road in Chester, Virginia, who are bringing you this broadcast of the Seeds of Truth each Saturday morning at 9:45. We do not ask nor solicit anything from you, our listening audience, except your time and interest in God's Word. And I hope you'll pick up your Bible and study along with us this morning. I want to direct our study this morning to the topic of the family of God. There are many terms which are used to express the magnificence of deity, the character of God. And so it is with His Son, Jesus Christ. The same is true of the church. The character of the church is so great and so noble that great terms have been used to describe it. Each term reflects some particular characteristic or aspect of the church. The church is God's kingdom, according to Matthew 16:18-20. The church is referred to as the army of the Lord in Hebrews 2:10. The church is the body of Christ, Ephesians 1:22. And Colossians 1:18. Be sure to look these scriptures up. The church is called the bride of Christ in Romans 7:4. It's referred to as the temple of God in 1 Corinthians 3:16. It's called the husbandry of God in 1 Corinthians 3:9. Paul states that the saints make up the household of God in Ephesians 2:19. He tells of the young man Timothy how men should conduct themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God in 1 Timothy 3:15. So let's look at some of the characteristics of a family as it applies to the people of God. God is the Father. As His children we pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," in Matthew 6:9. Our Lord himself forbade man from having a spiritual father on earth. Did he not say, "And call no man your father on the earth," Matthew 23:9? Obviously, Jesus was not discussing our fleshly fathers, but rather those who assume to be spiritual fathers. There are many faithful teachers, but only one is the Father. Hear the Apostle Paul. "For though ye have 10,000 tutors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers." 1 Corinthians 4:15. The church is composed of those who have surrendered their will unto the Heavenly Father. So one becomes a child of God, a member in the family of God, submissive unto the Father. And in this divine arrangement, man becomes a child of God in a very active way. In John 1:12, you can read, "But to as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now please note from this passage that one who believes on Christ as the Son of God has the right to become the child of God. You see, faith doesn't make that person a child of God. Faith gives that person the right or the privilege to become the child of God. Let me ask you this question. What does a marriage license do? Well, a marriage license is a permit for a man and woman to become husband and wife. Now, the marriage license doesn't make them husband and wife, but it gives them the right to become husband and wife. Well, what about a fishing license? Well, that's a permit to catch fish. But I might carry the fishing license around for the whole year and never catch a fish, but perhaps may not even go fishing. You see, unless we exercise the right or the permit to catch fish, we will never catch them. So it is with faith. Faith gives one the right to become the child of God. But unless you exercise that right and obey the Lord, you will never become the child of God. Faith by itself or alone will never save anyone. Now, to become a child of God, one must undergo a spiritual birth. One must be born again or born anew. You remember Jesus and talking to Nicodemus over in John 3:7, that Jesus himself said, "You must be born anew." The spiritual birth closely parallels the physical birth in many ways. There is the planting of the seed. And that seed being the Word of God, according to Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. That seed is sown in the heart of man. And in that parable of the sower that we've just read from in Luke chapter 8, we read in verse 15, and that in the good ground, these are such as in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bring forth fruit with patience. Without the teaching or sowing of the Word of God into good and honest hearts, there will be no new child of God brought forth. The seed must impregnate the human heart to bring forth a new child. If the seed is destroyed or not used, no reproduction can take place. The heart, as it receives the seed or the Word of God, is led to believe or to have faith. Paul says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, in Romans 10 and 17. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, it says in Hebrews 11 and 6. Faith or belief leads one to desire to become the child of God. Faith cries out, what shall we do? As did those in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 inquire of the Apostle Peter. Faith leads to godly sorrow, which in turn leads to repentance. You can read of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. What was the answer given to those in Acts 2:37 who cried out, what shall we do? Peter told them, repent and to be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, in Acts 2 and 38. This is clearly in harmony with the words of our Master in Mark 16:16. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The remission of sins is the result of faith obeying the commands of Christ. Saul of Tarsus was told in Acts 22:16, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Baptism changes a person's state. It's an act of obedience wherein one is translated out of the dominion of Satan and into the marvelous light of the Son of God. But I want you to notice the order given by Paul in Galatians chapter 3 in verses 26 and 27. For ye are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Who put on Christ? Those who believed. No. Those who were led by their faith to be baptized into Christ. How many put on Christ? Just as many as were baptized into Christ. I want you to notice just here, God doesn't require one thing to become a child of God and something else to make that child a member of His family. The very act of becoming a child of God makes one a member of the family of God. And the notion that one becomes a child of God by one process and then becomes a member of the family of God by another process is not found within the pages of God's book. This is made very clear by the reading of Acts 2 and 47, where the inspired writer says, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. And why not? When one is saved or born anew, he or she is cleansed by the blood of Christ, and by that very process becomes a member of the family of God. The family of God is to be one unit. It should be united. And we see this desire that Jesus had in His prayer in John chapter 17, that all of His people would be united in faith and practice. He prayed for unity among believers, and Paul taught the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, when he said, now I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfected together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That doesn't sound much like what we hear today, does it? People just shrug their shoulders and reject Christ's prayer and Paul's command. But surely, righteous people should sit up and take notice. And as a child of the Heavenly Father, one enters into a spiritual fellowship with God and by that very act becomes a recipient of great privileges and blessings. They have entered into the family of the sovereign ruler of this universe. They have become the child of God, the friend of God once again. They have been freed from their past sins, washed clean, and made whole again. Now as a child of God, that one has blessings beyond one's fondest dreams. In becoming that child of God, one becomes a joint heir with Christ. Romans 8:17 says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, and if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him." If one is an heir, he or she shares in the inheritance. But those who are not God's children can never hope to partake in the heavenly inheritance. Christ promised in John 14:2-3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Hebrews 2:11 says, "For both he that sanctifieth and they are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." And so our elder brother has prepared a place for the sons of God. I close with the reading of 1 John 3:1 this morning. "But what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God." And so I leave you with this question: are you in the family of God? But you know you can be if you're willing to submit to the commandments of Jesus Christ. The Rivermont Church of Christ, bringing you this program, meets each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Bible study and 11 a.m. for morning worship, and again Sunday evening at 6 p.m. for evening worship. You have a cordial invitation to attend any or all of the services. We also meet at 7:30 on Wednesday evenings for Bible study. And again, we are located at 2316 East 100 Road in Chester, Virginia. If you have a question or a comment, or if you would like a copy of this message, or if you'd be interested in a free Bible correspondence course, please contact us at our meeting address or call us at 804-530-1764. Thank you for being in our audience. Please listen again next Saturday morning at 9:45. Until then, I bid you a most pleasant good morning.